So, Proverbs chapter number 2. So this will be the 18th study in Proverbs. The title of this lesson is Deep Wisdom. We're going to start here in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. So reading a passage like this one here in Proverbs 2 gives us a look into the depths of wisdom. True wisdom is more than just handling relationships and money well. If we think back, in fact, to some of our money lessons we've had in Proverbs, think about the reason or why we should give generously. All right, giving generously. Now, let's just take a couple of sample verses. So, Proverbs speaks to this. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Proverbs 22:9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Proverbs 28:27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eye shall have many a curse. So this is just a sample of some of the wisdom sayings that we have in Proverbs pertaining to giving generously, particularly to the poor and afflicted and, you know, widows and fatherless and all that group that go sometimes identified in various ways. And those sayings seem pretty practical. And there's a principle there that those who are generous will tend to prosper. So we've discovered in these Proverbs what we would call the general truism. We've talked about that back at the beginning of this study, about how Proverbs, oftentimes the sayings are more truisms rather than giving us sort of absolute, you know, this for that sort of statements. So we found a truism here that those who are generous with those who are less fortunate tend to prosper. And that might seem a little counterintuitive, but it resonates with the human experience. All right, so if we don't go any further than this, though, then we've not found true wisdom. In other words, just recognizing a principle, a general truism that those who are generous tend to prosper, we haven't really found the true wisdom in Proverbs. And in fact, there's actually not anything particularly Christian about that principle. So those that are generous tend to prosper is something that can be found in many different religions, many different philosophies, many different worldviews. Again, there's just nothing particularly Christian about that. And we really haven't found the true wisdom of Proverbs. So we have to go beyond this to that true and deep wisdom that, as Proverbs says, begins with the fear of the Lord and finds the knowledge of God. And we saw that here in verses 5 and 6 in chapter 2. All right. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that this true wisdom, just because I called it deep, I don't mean that it is that it's hidden, like it's given in some sort of secret code that we have to decipher. Rather, we've not found true wisdom if we've not found the knowledge of God. So we have to ask what this book of Proverbs reveals about God. So, if we go back to our sample verses in giving to the poor, for instance. So just take this as a for instance. We find in those verses that I read, we find a common consequence that those who give generously will be blessed themselves. But we should also ask, why will they be blessed and how? The liberal soul, it says, shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered. The one that has the bountiful eye will be blessed. He that gives to the poor will not lack. So why is that? And how is that? Well, then just consider some of the other sayings in Proverbs that would teach us the why and the how. So concerning the why, Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And you see that all caps, that's Yahweh there in the text. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again. Proverbs 14:31. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. So why should we give generously? Well, because we see that other wisdom sayings tell us that because God is the maker, he's the creator of the poor, having mercy on them is honoring God, and all good works that are done in faith are ultimately service to the Lord, and the Lord himself will reward his servants. And we see these, obviously, this is the true wisdom, the knowledge of God. Well, what about the how? So those who give generously are going to be blessed. Well, how is that going to happen? Well, it's going to happen because Proverbs also teaches us that God is in control of everything. And he orders his creation according to his providence. And he can raise up or he can tear down as it pleases him to do so. So Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Proverbs chapter 16, and verse number 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So, if Proverbs teaches us that those that are generous with the poor and the needy, they will be blessed. Well, Proverbs also teaches that we should be generous and have mercy on the poor and needy because God is their creator and God himself will reward. And in fact, giving to them is lending unto the Lord, as it were. And God is in control of all things and governs this creation by his providence. Well, then that means that things can work out. And when we talk about providence, we're sort of talking about the general governance of the creation by God. In other words, not really supernatural works. We're not talking about the sun standing still, or, you know, something like that. But we're talking about working out like things like we see in the book of Esther, as we see just normal events, but those things working together to accomplish God's purpose. So this is what Proverbs teaches us. So when we see this, then we see the deeper wisdom. It's not just some sort of a practical principle to live by and say, oh, well, I want to prosper. And so if I want to prosper, well, I better give to the poor. Again, that's not the true wisdom. All right. So in this study, we want to consider what Proverbs teaches about God. So first of all, we encounter God in Proverbs and see that God invites us all to know him. So obviously from this book, as well as from other books of the Bible, but from the book of Proverbs, God can be known and he invites us to know him. And just because we can't know him fully, in other words, we can't possibly, God is an infinite, eternal being, and we can't possibly fully comprehend God in all of his being and nature and attributes. But just because we can't know God fully doesn't mean that we can't know Him truly. And that is what we are given in the book of Proverbs. So God's invitation to know Him is seen in places where there are invitations to wisdom. Because again, remember, the wisdom, it begins with the fear of the Lord, and it leads to finding the knowledge of God. That's the true wisdom that Proverbs is teaching. So Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So this is an invitation to wisdom. Now, it's wisdom here, as in some of the places in Proverbs, is personified like a woman that is out in the street. Sometimes she's up on the hill. She's in various places where people are, and she's calling out. She's inviting to come and to have wisdom. And you see there at the end there in verse 23, that I'll pour out my spirit unto you. And obviously this is a promise of God. I'll make known my words to you. Proverbs chapter 8. Verses 1 to 3. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. So these are a couple of places where we have this invitation to wisdom, which again results in knowing the words of God, and finding the knowledge of God. And you also notice when you consider these invitations to wisdom in Proverbs, you're going to notice that there is a progression. So wisdom is personified as a woman, that again, she's at the gates, at the entering end of the city. She's in the places of concourse or the marketplace. She's up on the high hill. She's in the roads and the byways. She's wherever that the people are. She's there and she's calling out and inviting to wisdom. But not only is she issuing this invitation, but you notice this progression that she actually invites you to the table. She invites us to eat and to drink at the table. In other words, having what we sometimes might refer to as table fellowship. It is a hospitality that speaks of a knowledge of the host, a general knowledge. So Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 to 12. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live. Go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth to himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. So when we see this deep wisdom in Proverbs that is inviting us to know God, it's not an invitation to just gain some facts about God. It's not just an invitation even just to gain knowledge, though it be true knowledge. But it is an invitation, we would ultimately say, into relationship with God, into covenant relationship. And we see several of those terms. You're probably a little rusty on our Psalm study, as we saw those various terms in the Psalms related to covenant relationship with God. And you see those echoed in the Proverbs as well. So God is revealed in the book of Proverbs through, I would say, just three primary ways. One of those being as the Creator. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 to 20. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. So God is the creator of all that we see and of the things that we can't see as well. And then as you go further into Proverbs, then you realize that God is in control, that God is governing this creation. In other words, God has established this order. And what we observe, even just observing as sort of a general truism, is a part of the order that God has created. So even though there are other religions and other philosophies and other worldviews that might just recognize through the human experience that those that tend to be generous with those that are poor and needy also tend to prosper. Just again, a general truism. But they don't understand the deep wisdom of that and why that's true and how that's true, which Proverbs reveals to us is because of God and our knowledge and relationship with Him. The second primary way, that is through the teaching of wise men. And this is what has been handed down to us. So we read those verses in Proverbs chapter number 2 at the very beginning. And just to echo in verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. So through faithful and wise teachers teaching us wisdom, we come to understand and to know God. And then, of course, through His written word. So Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6, which is our memory verses that we have been working on. So everyone ought to be able to recite these. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. We also learn of God in the book of Proverbs. We learn about God's character and His work. What type of God is this? What is He like? What does He do? Well, obviously, He's the creator of the earth. We read that verse in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 19. He's obviously the creator. He is the one that has made everything around us and even made us as well. But He's also the ruler of it all. So Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 to 9. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not go unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So, a number of things actually come out in that passage. We're not going to touch on them all, but God is not only the creator, but He is the governor of His creation. And several, with two or three statements in that passage in Proverbs 16, talk about how that man might make plans, man might endeavor, man might set out to do this or to do that. But ultimately, those outcomes are of the Lord. It's not ultimately due to man's planning. And that's why we get echoes in places like in the book of James when it says, you know, don't say tomorrow we'll go into a city and buy and sell and get gain and what have you. It says you ought to say if the Lord will. So the Bible is not teaching us not to plan or not to endeavor. Obviously, that's not the point at all. But the point that it's teaching is that the true wisdom, that deep wisdom that it's teaching us, is that those outcomes are in the Lord's hands. We be faithful and we live by wisdom and we do what we ought to do. We strive in righteousness and those outcomes are the Lord's. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? In other words, even back in Proverbs 16, in that passage we read a moment ago, we see sayings that are telling us and teaching us that God knows us even better than we know ourselves. Proverbs chapter 21, verses 30 and 31, There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. So again, God is the governor of this creation. He is the one that orders the events of this creation and orders the outcomes. All of these things are worked according to His will. God is omniscient, Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21. This means that He is all-knowing. He has all knowledge. It's not possible for there to be something that God doesn't know or cannot know or will not know in that sense. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all His goings. God is also wise. He is the very source of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 11, hell and destruction are before the Lord. In other words, they're open. He can gaze into the grave. He can gaze into that judgment. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? In other words, He sees through us. He sees within us. He sees our thoughts. He sees our actions. He hears our words. He knows our motivations. He knows our struggles and so on. He knows all of these things. He is wise. And He is the giver of wisdom. We read those verses in chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. In other words, Proverbs teaches us that it is God who is the source of true wisdom. We can see in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 to 36, the Lord possessed me, speaking of wisdom, in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him, as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. We learn that God is also holy. He is entirely separate and other. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We also learn that God is merciful. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. God is also the judge of all men. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 3, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Proverbs 10:29, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Proverbs 12:2, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. God is also a protector of the poor. And we read a number of verses at the start about this. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 5. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamity shall not be unpunished. Proverbs chapter 23 verses 10 and 11. Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. Furthermore, God is the Redeemer of the faithful. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Proverbs 10:29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. So we learn about the character of God. We learn about the works of God. What is God like? What does He do? But then also think about, well, what pleases God? What does God love? What is it that God delights in? And Proverbs reveals this to us as well. First of all, it reveals to us that God loves honest dealings, honest transactions, honest business. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 10, diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 20:23 echoes that. That is a very similar saying. God also loves truthfulness. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Now think of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. And another way that we could put it a little more generally, but is also specified in the wisdom of Proverbs, is that God loves righteousness. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 32 and 33. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but His secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but He blesseth the habitation of the just. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but He loveth him that followeth after righteousness. And furthermore, Proverbs teaches us through wisdom that God loves true worship, sincere worship, authentic worship. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. And as you go through the books of the prophets, you find this being a repeated charge to the houses of Israel and Judah, that they were offering God sacrifices, they're honoring Him with their mouths, but their hearts are far removed from Him. They're also bowing down and serving their idols and making their offerings to their false gods and so on. And so God says that their offerings and their feasts and their sacrifices and their rites and all their ceremonies, they were an abomination to Him, their fasts and so on. Well, Proverbs teaches us again that deep wisdom. It's not, God doesn't love performance. God doesn't love for us to merely go through motions. God doesn't love for us to just follow a procedure to make sure that we do all the steps correctly. God loves a heart that loves Him. God loves a heart that is humbled before Him. Even He has said in other places, in the Psalms and in Isaiah, loving that contrite heart, that broken heart before Him. Again, God loves true worship of Him and not empty ritualized religion. So the wisdom of Proverbs obviously has much to reveal about God to us, and reveals God to us so that we can know Him. And again, when we were talking about the fear of the Lord, and that was pretty early in our study of Proverbs, we saw how that fear of the Lord once again pointed to that covenant relationship with God, that trusting in Him fully and completely, taking Him as a shield and as a refuge and under the shadow of His wings, all those images that we looked at, particularly in the Psalms, those that trust Him. So again, it's not just a knowledge. It's not so that you can pass a multiple choice test. It is a knowledge, it is a relationship. He invites us, not only calling to us on the streets, but at the table with the bread and the wine and the food and the various things that are spread there as he invites us to know him. So, of course, also we have to remember that Proverbs doesn't stand alone. Proverbs speaks consistently with the rest of Scripture as well. But it is when we find the knowledge of God is when we find the true and deep wisdom that Proverbs has for us. And there's many Proverbs that are very practical and speak to a lot of practical issues. And they do teach us a lot of wisdom in controlling our tongues and the things that we speak, and controlling our anger, and the various relationships, whether it would be, you know, within a family or with a neighbor, and a lot of those. It talks about a lot of those things. We talked about and studied the issue of money and so on. There's a lot of these things. There's a lot of practical wisdom that's given to us in Proverbs. But ultimately, we have to go beyond that to find that true wisdom, that deep wisdom that is the knowledge of God and not just sort of some practical helps in order for us to have a better life. All right, so that's all. Are there any questions or anything that we talked about here this evening?